Welcome to the Snarling Men, the unofficial Chidley Football Club podcast. I'm your host, the Comic Stop, and this week I'm joined on the podium by Bruce Hill as we go over the end of the transfer window, we bid farewell to Joe Ledley, welcome Lee Griffiths, and look ahead to this weekend's cup game against Aberdeen. Speak to the end of the pod. Hail, hail. Right, so back in the podcast again this week, and I'm joined on the pod phone by Bruce Hillboy once again. Hi, Bruce.
Hello.
Right, so but let's start by talking about the transfer window, because this is the part one in the transfer window extravaganza. We'll have part two next week after the Aberdeen game in it. So what do you make in the whole Celtic's business in the transfer window? Right, so we'll start with the players we signed first. Stefan Johansson, we talked to him a bit on the last podcast. Did you manage to see the game on Sunday against Hibs?
I watched the game, aye.
As did I. What did you think of his performance?
I thought he played really well. I thought he kept it simple, which was a plus. You know, he just passed it and he moved on. And he was always looking for the ball. You know, he never kind of shied away on his debut, which was kind of good to see. Maybe he could have added a wee bit more of a threat going forward. You know, I thought he kind of shaped up to shoot a few times, but I was impressed. You know, I was impressed with him, and hopefully, you know, that's the start of a long, good career for him.
Yep, I agree. I thought he played well. He added a bit more sort of guile and craft, creativity type of thing that we lack in midfield badly. But as you said, didn't really get any many shooting positions. But it's early days, so we've got high hopes for him. Now let's talk about another signing who we bought from Wolves. League One reject, Lee Griffiths. So, now, according to you, on the very first podcast, I said that we should sign Lee Griffiths. But, just before the podcast started, I listened to that podcast and I couldn't find that bit. So, in my opinion, it didn't happen.
And so that's why you chucked the first pod then? Technical issues?
I don't remember. That's why we had technical issues. It's never been heard. Right, so let's have a debate about Lee Griffiths. So, as you know, I'm sceptical about it. I just think he's better than Stokes. We'll talk about Stokes more later because his performance on Sunday was horrendous. I think he's just sort of a Stokes number two sort of type clone. He'll probably do quite well in the SPL and not be able to cut it in Europe. And that's what, according to our esteemed boss, as you said, we were buying players for the Champions League campaign. But I know you're a big fan of the signing, so state your case, Bruce.
I'm not jumping for joy, you know. It's not like when we signed Benny Gourette, it's like Edgar Abison, but I mean, you were jumping good by the signing players for these big teams. But I'm happy with Lee Griffiths. I think he's a good player. And, you know, score goals in the league, which is technically what he's there today. And I don't see why he can't make the jump into Europe, because I think he's got that wee bit of something special about him. You know, he showed it for Hibs plenty of times last year, so you know, I think if you gave him a chance, he would put it in the net. I don't see any difference in Europe. I don't know, I'm unconvinced.
I just feel we've bought another player for the... what my opinion is, and hopefully I'm proved wrong, is that we've bought him to maintain the very, very important unbeaten run, which is the greatest achievement ever in Scottish football history, as we know. And,
I would agree with that. Eh? I would agree with that. I think he has been brought in to keep it going. But at the end of the day, you know, he signed us at 3.5 year deal, so he's going to be here for a while.
On that 3.5 year deal, who do you think will be at Celtic longer? Lee Griffiths or Neil Lennon?
Lee Griffiths.
I think now as well. We'll talk about Neil Lennon more later. But I don't know, man. I'm unconvinced about Griffiths. Hopefully, it proves me wrong, and I suppose we'll find out. In... What, Bruce?
Do you have any one of our current strikers? The ball falls to somebody in Europe. I want it to go to Griffiths rather than anybody else.
Would you?
I don't know what that means about the rest of the strikers, but.
But even your favourite, Amido Baldi?
Aye, because I don't think I could go through the agonising Amido Chuck for a goalkeeper.
Right, now, would you not say that Chris Coleman's a striker for us now?
No, I think he's still a midfielder. As much as, I think he's like Petrov. Remember we played Petrov up front, they just didn't
work. Much as Petrov was a fabulous player for us, he's more effective and got for a goal than Petrov. I mean, that goal on Sunday, 20 goals this season already, and we're only in February. I mean, the thing is, I think the way we'll play, it'll be Griffiths up front his cell and Commons behind him. And I just don't know if that's suited to Griffiths. I think he needs somebody to weigh him up front. Like Stokes, when it was Stokes and Hooper, but Stokes has went off the boil so completely, I don't think we can play Stokes like that. And Commons obviously kind of get dropped. And Commons' best position now is sort of floating about between midfield and forward. So I think it'll be a sort of 4-4-1-1, which Disney always worked with us. And it'll be, as I said, Griffiths up front of his cell and Commons behind him.
I think that'll be it. Yeah, I think he likes a 4-4-1-1 because he played it. Was it last year with Hooper and mm-hmm. Commons? At the start of the season, and it works away from home in Europe. But I think this time, I don't think Griffiths deserves at least a couple of months to get his fitness on a game in the team. But obviously, I think it helps him. You know, it's beneficial to Griffiths that we've got a player like Coleman that's in great form, so the pressure's not on him straight away. But I still think he'll score. I think he'll end up,
he's a great, he has been brilliant for us, and I think he should deservedly win player of the year, but he's really not very good in Europe, Commons, is he? You're a hard, hard, tough guy. Commons will never get dropped. But then back to Europe for a second. I'd say none of your forward players really are good enough to cut it in the Champions League. It's really our defenders, and our defenders were pretty ropey in this year's Champions League. But the defence is by far the strongest part of the team. Well, we'll talk about that in our Aberdeen preview at the end of the pod.
Obviously, you know, they're playing well, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying they're not playing well, but I just think Van Dijk, I don't know whether that goal went to his head, because he starts drifting forward now. And, you know, Ambrose is, you know, we know Ambrose is just a moment away for a mad daft mistake, so...
I talk about Ambrose in the last 20 minutes on Saturday. He just sort of started panicking and lumping the ball everywhere. It was like in his first games at Park, I don't really know what happened to him on Sunday.
Well, even after that, he tried a mad pass and he nearly gave the ball straight away. Just think the boy Fisher is the best player in the park on Sunday. But I know we'll talk about Sunday later about Fisher, who's the real calming influence at the back.
He's been excellent for us. I think he'll be a good player, hopefully with us. Right, so on to the player that's left us, Joe Ledley, the ghost. we'll get, if I can get Stannis on this week's pod, I'm sure he'll have a lot to say about him. If not, he can talk about him in next week's. I don't know, an unfulfilled promise, I'd say, with Will Ledley. I mind when we signed him, I was really happy. A guy who a lot of, well, supposedly a lot of big clubs in England were looking at. He had left his boyhood heroes, Cardiff, to come to us for nothing, and no doubt big money. And in his first season, he was excellent. Drove forward a lot for midfield, reminiscent of Petrov. Got a goal in the pretty crappy League Cup final defeat against Rangers. Then he got injured in the 0-0 draw at Ibrox. In fact, back for the scene, set up Sam Maness's first goal at Ibrox with a brilliant ball for midfield, which he didn't really do a lot at Parkhead. We missed him in the running when he got injured at Ibrox in the 0-0 draw. Second season, started slowly, played well. Got the winner against Rangers that put us top of the league for the first time. Then we went on to win the league, of course. But then these last two seasons just pretty much faded away. I know he got 10 goals last season, but for a lot of that season he was poor. This season, really nondescript. And I'm not really surprised that Celtic managed to get him off the books for either 800,000 or 2.5 million. So, what would you say about Ledley's time at Celtic?
Well, I think the last 18 months are going to sever, which should have been, you know, really a great career, you know what I mean? But I find it interesting that people are only talking about whether Joe Ledley was a great player for Celtic. They're all talking about why he's not tweeted his goodbye yet. But what I will say in Ledley is, even though he did score 10 goals last year, I'd be surprised if any one of them was a winner. I think they were all like, you know, kind of like maybe three. No, he scored the third goal in the cup final.
Aye.
I think it was like the fourth goal against Dundee or something, a 5-0 win. Whereas, you know, in his first season, he scored, you know, the winner off Inverness in the cup. You know, he scored, and then he scored the winner against Rangers. He scored the only goal in Rennes. You know, he was scoring really dead important goals for us in his first two seasons when he did manage to score. And I just think the first two seasons, you know, it was brilliant. And I think a lot of the people, I know Charlie McGrew went player of the year, which, you know, admittedly did have a good year that year, but the real turning point was Ledley in the team that year in 2011-12. You know, when we turned the forum right round, Ledley was starting every game, and that's what I want to remember Ledley for. I don't want to remember him for the guy who was just in the team to, you know, knock the ball forward. You know, the last 2 years, like Champions League, I thought he would really take it, but
and it's funny that we always consider them one of Neil Lennon's favourites, but see if you look back to that Juventus game at home, he was dropped, interestingly enough, so maybe the signs were there that he wasn't going to beat Celtic long term. Although, do you think his game sort of was stifled in a way with the fact that we sort of curbed his natural game of bombing forward and he turned into yet another sort of defensive midfielder, and this sort of obsession we've got with producing defensive midfielders? I wonder why that is.
I would say that because I think when Yama was in the team, he made a license to go forward. You know, when you, and that was another thing I've kind of contradicted myself here, but when we're on that run, when Yama kind of, you know, started a lot of their games,
aye,
they didn't cement his place in the team, but it was down to Ledley. You know, Ledley was brilliant every game, and I thought, that player, you know, I thought, got a really good midfielder here that's going to be here for years, and we're all going to remember him as a great player. But when Yama left and we brought in, you know, McGrew to play in the midfield this year, I know last year, when Yama was there, Ledley was quite good, but I think the way we played in Europe, you know, we contained teams and it worked, you know, last year, don't get me wrong, but I think Ledley's game did take a suffer, and, you know, Ledley looked like the first player that kind of chucked it because we've only played Rangers in the league anyway.
Aye, that's what I was thinking, sort of indirectly. I was thinking that I know we were linked, we sort of try to get players for England. I think one of the big attractions for players for England was playing against those dead zombie Huns. I mean, look at how big their games were. Just huge. I mean, look at the league. And of course, we don't miss them, of course. We can't say that. We're not allowed to say that. But if you look at the league games this season and last season in comparison, they're just nowhere near the excitement without playing our dear departed neighbours. And that was definitely a big attraction, especially for players down south. They always talked, probably just paying lip service, but about how huge the Old Firm games were and how exciting they looked in there. And I'm not surprised, really, that Ledley's left, he's away to Crystal Palace, and I actually think he might do no bad there. I don't think Tony Pulis would let him sort of hide what happened up here, and because I actually think Tony Pulis is a good manager. So good luck to Joe. He never really fulfilled what we hoped, but he was a right good Tim, wasn't he? He loved the club. And a real tragedy that we can't tweet his girlfriend anymore. Right now, only then.
Houston Friday night.
Aye, I saw that. Aye, that was. That was a bit odd, but then it's that. That is Twitter, and that is Celtic fans. Right, okay. Only the next player that we thought might leave, Samaras. Unfortunately, he stayed. I don't think he'll sign a new contract. He was on the bench on Sunday. So what I hope was going to happen, that if he didn't sign a contract, he'd get bombed out, isn't it going to happen? And in fact, it wouldn't surprise me if he started on Saturday, because that's a big game.
Because the guy on Celtic TV, he was hinting that he was coming on, and we hadn't made any subject, and I was raging, hinting, no, if he's going to get on, it should be like when we're fighting that up, and as a third substitute, he should be the Baldy, you know what I mean?
Aye.
I couldn't believe on Friday that he never went, because I really did when I was put my standard good French to good use, and I discovered that Marseille were actually. And I don't know if that was probably obviously just a daft rumour, but I really thought, God, I'm going to get rid of him, because he's got to either sign a contract, because he's got, you know, he's got a World Cup thing about. So if he's thinking about his future, you know what I mean? But then again, Lennon likes him, didn't he? So he'll probably play.
I know. What's daft, really? Right, so let's look at what Neil Lennon said at the press conference on Friday, that we were in for a player for Turkey, but there was a problem between him and his club. We'd agreed a $3 million fee for him, and but there was a problem with him and his club, and they couldn't sign. Do you believe that?
No, not at all.
No. I mean, no being critical of Celtic, because we're supposedly hatchet men. But I mean, what's the use in saying things like that? And why leak? What I think it did come for the club. Why leak the stuff about Stephen Fletcher at the start of the Windy? I mean, what's the point in that? Maybe there was a wee bit of interest, but they obviously say to the media, put that out there. The media, of course, they hate and detest Celtic. But I really don't know the point in that. I mean, it's no like the 1990s anymore, where you can pull a flywire on the fans and say, oh, we're interested in this guy, but no, he couldn't come. I mean, it just makes us look stupid, doesn't it?
I did, but I think the boy for Turkey was that Mads Janker from Trabzonspor, who said he would walk to Celtic. Not that I believe that there was a bid placed, but I would imagine if you were to push him, that was who they would say they were after. I don't get any knowledge of that, that's just what I think. But, $3 million, you know, on Johansson and Griffiths, but to come out and say the rest of us, we'll just know that he's got 6 million friend, he came out and said he's after a £6 million player. So if there's any animosity towards players like Griffiths and Johansson, then Lennon's created some of it by saying that he can sign players that are worth triple, double their value.
It really was. As soon as they said it at the start, I thought, number one, we won't break our wage structure to buy Fletcher. Number two, why would Fletcher leave a team that's actually gone places in the English Premier League? They weren't in a final then, but they're in one now. Why would he leave to come up here and play in maybe 13 or 14 games with only one or two mark?
They were destined for the draft, though. At the start of January, it was, they've turned it around the last 2-3 weeks, but they were going down. So that's why I think people were starting to believe Fletcher might come up. But, I believed that what I was told was Celtic were going to use Foster to try and get Fletcher.
And is that a snarling main exclusive?
It was just something I heard that they were after. They were going to say if Sunderland, if we can get Fletcher for £6 million, you can get Foster for the same price in the summer. If you stay up, I think they're the goalkeeper. But that kind of fell through, but I don't think Celtic's interest was ever concrete. You know what I mean? Lennon was just, I think Steven Fletcher just happened to be, a Scottish striker, wants to come to him, in a name. But regarding the whole Neil Lennon stuff and the transfer, that was the first thing he said on Friday, was like after the Griffiths talk, was that that boy from Turkey. I just think that it was a kind of wee tried again, it wasn't Celtic's fault, it was his club's fault, but you're going, that was it, but 1 o'clock, surely he's got to have a plan B. Is Griffiths the plan B all along, or do you just wake up on deadline day and go, I'm going to sign a player for Turkey? So, they must have a plan.
The thing that worries me about Griffiths, I'm not taking any account of the thing Lennon said last year about how none of the players nominated for Player of the Year were getting the Celtic team. That's just,
I've seen that. That was just
him being annoyed because none of the players got nominated. As you might remember, he took the huff and said he wasn't going to go to the awards, which he did. But the thing is, if we wanted Griffiths so badly, why did we not buy him in the first or second of January? Why did we wait until the last day? That's what's making me worried about it. That he was
Griffiths, they were after him the Boxing Day.
I believe Griffiths is stupid and a liar, probably.
Well, I don't know. You don't know how these things work. I really think that, I don't know. I just something about me just thinks that he really did want Griffiths all along.
But I don't think he was the first choice.
I don't think he was first choice, but I really do think they wanted him. And he fits into that. He's a Lennon type player, isn't he? He's all right to get. I know we signed him on deadline day and that, but it was like Stokes. We all knew we wanted Stokes in 2010, and we didn't get him until deadline day, so I don't think that played into it. I do think they really wanted him, but
Maybe so. Right, so before we go into the game,
Lennon thought about Samaras, he must have. I really think Lennon thought Lennon Samaras are just going to sign contract. I don't think he ever imagined this possibility that they might one of them's away and the other one's gone.
I think by the end of Celtic, we're desperate to get at least one of them off the books, because that really would have been right bad management if we ended up with two of the first team players leaving for nothing.
Oh, definitely. And the other thing as well, though, is I think, Ledley was played in the Atlanta match on Wednesday night, which, ended up people thinking that it was because he was leaving, but you need to look at it and say, two of them, they're on good money to pay for them. Why pay 6 months for a deal if, they've got the intention of signing a new contract? We should have been punting them for the 1st of January. We shouldn't have been waiting till the last week and saying, alright, maybe they're not going to sign a contract. What? They should have been the first two at the door.
Or even in the summer, when they said they weren't going to sign a contract, they should have been sold with 12 months left.
They should have got a contract. If the Scottish Cup final last year, they should have got a contract placed in front of them and said, right, you've got 3 weeks to sign that, go on holiday, think about it, come back. If you don't sign it, I'll punt you before August. I honestly think Lennon just assumed that
they've
just got to
say. Now, before we go to the game against Hibs, and then we look forward to the Aberdeen game, interesting that quite a lot of Neil Lennon's big players have left or are leaving. Ledley, Wanyama, Hooper, all left. Samaras unlikely to stay. You've got to think Fraser Foster will leave in the summer. Do you think that that's sort of a signal that their beloved manager Neil Lennon will leave in the summer?
I thought at the start of the season this was going to be last year, and I think that the longer the season goes on, obviously we're unbeaten and all that, but I think that the longer the season goes on, the better I think he's got to stay next year. But I do really think that he'll go. I think he'll get an offer for somewhere.
See,
I think he wants to be here.
Well, see if we get the unbeaten run, I think he will leave.
I think, to be honest, know that he's getting bold, right? I think that if you start talking about an unbeaten season in like October, November, I think you're starting to show that there's not much else keeping here. And, you know, obviously what happened to me Saturday, you know, that was terrible and, you know, whatever, but I don't...
Just to say, in case the listeners don't know, which they will anyway, Neil Lennon was at the Aberdeen St Johnstone semi-final at Tynecastle, and what is it? Excuse me, he gets spat on, he get abuse, and he get a pie through him.
Do you know what else happened on Saturday at that game?
What?
Two fans tried to attack Derek McInnes.
They did?
Aye, there's a picture, I seen a picture of two young boys getting carried away from in the tunnel at Paradise. At Tynecastle, sorry.
That must be anti-Derek McInnes racism.
Obviously, that never happened. It happened. I seen the picture of the two boys getting... I seen it on the internet. It was very like the Lennon picture from 2011. Two boys getting stopped. But obviously, there's only one manager that got attacked on Saturday. I just think it was terrible what happened, you know. It should never happen to anybody. You know what I mean? Anybody going to...
Because that's one of the favourite things that they do, go on the high horse.
I don't, Saturday night, it was like, I couldn't believe it. It was like, why are you not condemning anti-Irish racism? Going, well, why would they have a Dean fans who have never given Neil Lennon a stick before? It was Neil Lennon that came out with the whole sheet thing when he speech at the last game. It was him that slagged up a Dean fan. Right, maybe they've not liked him since then, but, you know, they've hardly been singing the fam song towards us, not I mean, anything with Labour.
Exactly, it's about football rivalry. It's about in football, fans don't like opposition like players and managers. I mean, it's nothing. I know we don't usually like to talk about this kind of thing because it hijacks Celtic non-stop. But wasn't the anti-Irish racism, the stuff that happened in the past, the bombs and all that, that might have been, but this wasn't it. This was just fans that were pissed that don't like Neil Lennon. I mean, I'm sure there's some Celtic fans that I won't name that don't like Neil Lennon. I mean, I can't think any off the top of my head. I'm sure there's some that don't like Neil Lennon. Right.
I
know, I'm having a moment of reflection here and I can't think of any. Right, okay.
I mean, right. The same as like Novo and Lasley and, you know, any other Celtic player, any other opposition player that gets a hard time at Parkgate. You know, why do we not like them? You know what I mean? It's a bit racist for not liking these people.
Of course. And
fans thought they had another martyr cause that they could go and, you know, I said, I'm going to tweet Graham Spears and I'm going to tweet Stan Collymore and all that. And, you know, just get out of it, man. Just admit it that, well, they might, I mean, it'd be stupid and, I didn't like it, and it was terrible, but wasn't it racist,
not
me?
No. And just for a wee bit of whataboutery. Eh?
There was an 18th minute applause on Sunday.
I know there was, I know. I know.
The support, the Green Brigade, you know what I mean?
But
then
all
the rally running when it happens to him.
I know,
what if they want... The support for fans, you know what I mean, where's that support for the fans? After Amsterdam and all that.
Aye, alright, Bamport.
No, that's why he's bought his ticket.
Maybe so. Why do we have to win it on Sunday for Neil, in case you're wondering?
I know, well, do you know what? It's kind of a good thing that happened to a wee bit of merit and edge to it, which is going to be an important game anyway.
Aye, well, I might even be going to that game, but we'll talk about that later. Right, so before we talk about the Aberdeen game in a bit more detail, we'll talk about the Hibs game that we both saw. Not a great performance. No Hibs, St Mirren. Not a great performance. 1-1-0. Chris Coleman's goal after the 6 minute went through the goalie's hands. First thing, well done to Fraser Foster for beating Celtic's shutout record. 11 games in a row. Him in the defence, even though defence can be ropey, he'll been excellent. And judging by what Lennon said the other day, Force will be off in the summer. But hopefully we'll get like between 8 and 10 million for him, I'd say.
I think we'll get a good price for him. He's been cheap, you know, and he can only make him better. Can only get him, you know, can only up his value, you think. But it's a great achievement, you know, 11 games considering, you know, it's, even though we're not playing against great opposition, he's got it.
I'd say that myself. We're on to the second big talking point for Sunday. Anthony Stokes, in particular, he's just horrendous miss in the last minute when it was him and Dirk Berichter literally running through against the goalie with no defenders. And then Stokes, excuse me, should have passed. But of course, because he's a greedy sod, took it ridiculously wide round the goalie and hit it in the side net. That just sums up Stokes these days, doesn't it?
I definitely, and I knew he was going to miss, and I knew he was going to pass it, you know. They say they never seen him, but surely Berichter's shouting at him, you know, he gave him the ball, and he's got to pass it, you know. It's no question that the game, you know, we've seen this so many times before, not just in Scottish football, but football, you know, you're on top of your team, you know, you're one-nothing just to see the lead. You know, anything can happen, you know, all yours are deflection away from drawing a game, and he's got to pass it, end the game, just give him the ball. No, forget about yourself for a minute, just give the ball to Berichter, let him score. You know, finish the game, just finish the game, get 3 points. But, no, Stokes, he's got to be the main man, and he's got to be the main man and score all the goals. And for somebody that was suspended for 2 games in which we scored 8 goals in, and he walks straight back into the team, there's a big problem there.
I don't really know why Lennon done that. I think he's got sort of blind spot with Stokes, but no, I did like Stokes, and on earlier pods I did say this, that I thought he was a good player for us, but that really was when he was his contract was running out, and the fact that we gave him a 3-year contract, I mean,
I think that's... It's just like Samaras one.
Eh?
It's just like Samaras in 2011, when he gave him a 3-year deal.
And that was on the basis of that game against Rangers?
Aye.
At least that was in the basis of a game that was a huge win. Stokes set up the goal, I suppose.
No, it just looked like both of them were just going to kind of fritter away and leave in the summer, and then they got handed 3-year deals.
No, that's true. Although Sammy did contribute in Europe since his deal. Now he's sort of went to bits now, but he did contribute. But then Stokes, since he signed his deal, has been just crap, basically. I mean, I think he's only scored maybe 6 or 7 goals a season. This was his big chance, leading the line with Hooper away, and he's just failed to grasp it, and he really should be doing the betting order now that we've signed Griffiths, Stokes. I would even have him behind Baldy, don't know. I'd really bomb Stokes out in the summer if we could.
I thought he was really going to kick on this year to start really well. I thought he was going to hit it at 25. I think he signed the contract, you know, he's settled right there, he's back to share, and back to that same player that, you know, we were morning at every week. And I just think that hang on, that hang on, just sums them right up.
Who'd buy? Who'd buy him though? I mean, maybe a championship team or something. I think that's his level.
I don't think anybody. We've been for him. I think maybe if you're lucky, you get lower off the challenge. I don't know, like Sheffield Wednesday or something. I just really can't see anybody coming from. Maybe if Lennon goes to England, they'd pay him.
God, I don't know about that. But the thing is, we heard that Lennon was fed up with Stokes and wanted rid of him. And then, but last season, but then now he signs a 3-year contract. I mind at the time I was shocked, and we really should have punted him in this in that window there, and no gave him the contract.
No, I would have done the same. But England, if they Lennon, I think obviously Hooper was there. So you know, when Hooper was there, Hooper was first choice, and that was that. I'd like him to argue with me. I think Lennon. You know, Lennon's got Stokes' his first choice because there's nobody else there, but I mean, that's down to Lennon. Is he really good enough? You know what I mean? I don't think he is. And Lennon seems to no trust him. Big game, you know, he never played on against Rangers. He's going for Rangers to win there, you know, playing in the Champions League, to be in League 9 in the Champions League against. You know what I mean? He played Miku. You know what I mean? He played Miku against Barcelona. You know, so it's not just down to the fact that because Hooper's not there, Stokes is getting a game.
Actually, he did play away a couple of games in the Champions League this year, Stokes against Milan and Ajax. And apart from one free kick against Milan that hit the bar, it was crap in both games.
He's linked up with shocking. People used to say him and Hooper linked up really well, and they did for a period of time, but Hooper was clearly a better player. Oh. And that was it. Perhaps does there that we're telling you that Stokes was making Hooper look good, but Hooper was making Stokes look you know, 10 times a player he normally is. Hooper made Stokes look brilliant at times. You know, in the Champions League this year, we needed somebody who could hold the ball up, and I don't think Griffiths maybe would be better at that because he seemed to play that role a wee bit. And it happens. But Stokes, he's like a couple of the Champions League this year. Was so.
Even though I criticised the Griffiths signing, I'd far rather have him up front than Stokes for us.
That's what I'm saying, if the ball falls to him in Europe, I want it to fall to Griffiths instead of anybody else. I think he's clinical. I think he'll put the ball in the net. But, you know, obviously, he's a cheap option. I don't know, I wouldn't deny that, but like Stokes, I think Griffiths' link-up plays a lot better. But Stokes isn't, I think, wouldn't be better players around him. I think Griffiths can only get better.
Yeah, we'll find out. In fact, we'll find out maybe on Saturday, which brings us on to the last topic of the pod. Saturday's quarter final in the Saturday's last 16 game in the Scottish Cup against Aberdeen at Parkhead, quarter to one kickoff, I think. Undeniably the biggest game left in the season. If we lose, it'll be a disaster basically. Season over in February, apart from of course the utopia, the unbeaten run. I mean, it's going to be a grudge match, I suppose, because of what happened to Neil Lennon at Tynecastle with the Aberdeen fans. And it really is a big game that we do need to win, and I think it'll be a tough game as well, because Aberdeen are in a really good run of form now, and I've got the sort of players that, unlike most of the other teams in the Premier League, that can cause us trouble.
They're on some run. They are on a great run at the minute, Aberdeen, and I think that they go into the game full of confidence, and you know, they're into their first final in 14. Yeah, they're in their first fight, you know, 14 years, and I think, you know, it's a cup game, so they're going to be saying, you know, we want to the Merse finals, and I think this is maybe for us, you know, obviously we'll get a tendency to throw things away in Europe, throw things away at Hamden, but I think this is like a big game, you know what I mean, we could look at it and say that if we beat Aberdeen, you know, who's there, who's left in the tournament, the Barton.
Wait a minute. The Rangers are still left in it.
They still in the Scottish Cup.
They're playing Dunfermline on Friday night, and you go to handle beat Dunfermline.
I thought they were.
You're a Celtic fan, and you don't know every single Rangers game.
I honestly thought they went out.
No, they're playing Dunfermline on Friday night, so.
Alright, well.
There's a chance you could play. There's a chance you could play them. Oh, good.
I think we'll draw them
the next round then. And Dudge United, they're playing St. Mirren, but like the likes of Inverness are still in it. Hibs are still in it.
Dumbarton, I think
Dumbarton
are playing, you know what I mean, that's a
cup
shop.
Dumbarton, and of course the Rangers, but I mean, this is going to be a tough game. Aberdeen are going to be bringing a lot of fans here, a lot more than the usual away teams at Parkhead. The top tier isn't even going to be opened, I don't think, at Parkhead. I don't know. I know I'm always pessimistic about Celtic in big cup games, but I'm slightly worried that our form has just been sort of for the like do enough to win for a lot of games, and this is a game where we'll need to sort of operate up a couple of levels. And I don't know. I'm worried the players might be in a comfort zone, but hopefully Lennon will get them out of that comfort zone. So
no, look, luckily for us, Aberdeen are like the Everton. They go to bits in big games.
Usually,
we'll win
about, I
think we'll win 3 or 4
lads. I don't know, I think it'll be tighter
than that. I think we'll pull away, but again, I think we'll score two goals later on. I think Griffiths will get at least two.
They did give us a hard time in the league game at Parkhead. We ended up winning 3-1, we scored 2 goals in injury time, but Foster won it.
3-1 up?
Eh?
Last year? So 3-1 up last year with 20 minutes to go and still
tries
to get beat
4-3. True enough. But I don't know, I mean, let's as usual look on the miserable side. If we do lose this game, I mean, that is basically the end of the season. I mean, they're going about done beating run, but it is the end of the season if we lose, so it's vital that we win and keep things going.
The unbeaten run will keep people interested for a while though. No. As much as, I don't think it, to me it's no Everton, but if we're to get the cup, you know, it does become a wee bit more important.
But I think the unbeaten run, I think.
Hypothetically, if Aberdeen beat us, I think you'll see when it's at the unbeaten in the league, right, with February. We can stay unbeaten to maybe April, nobody will really notice it till the end of April, when there's maybe 3-4 games left. Then you go, alright, a game still the unbeaten run. But, I don't think defeat's an option on Saturday, not being carried the Scottish Cup, we need to win it.
Aye, and the final's at Parkhead as well, so it'd be pretty embarrassing not to be in it. What do you think the team will be? Do you think he'll bring in Samaras and Griffiths, like I think he might?
I don't know about Samaras. I hope not. I think he'll play the boy. Eton will come in, I think, as well. Because Aberdeen are quite good in midfield, so I think he'll bring Scott Brown will play up against Robson, I would imagine. I think he'll play the Johansson, Lennon. No, I think he'll probably do that, you know what I mean? We know Lennon.
I hope not, but I agree with you.
I think O'Grew will be in there. Nobody knows why, but O'Grew will be in there. And I think he'll play Pookie and Griffiths up front.
What about Commons?
I think he'll play Commons on the left.
But McGrew's the left wing. McGrew.
Play Brown. He'll play like Forrest. He'll play an arm, won't he?
I don't know.
Play Forrest, Brown, McGrew, and Commons in the midfield. With Bookie and Griffiths up front.
McGrew was on the left wing on Sunday. Unbelievably.
Abysmal. As usual.
I don't know. I mean, just play him in defence, for God's sake, Neil. That's where he's best. That's never going to happen. But I actually do agree that we'll probably win on Saturday, but I think it'll maybe only be 2-1. And it'll actually be like a good old days, tough, meaningful game.
I just, as much as Aberdeen are playing well, we're on the same other forum, you know, we've won like 13 games in a row or something. So
who'd be up front then?
Okay, I think.
Stokes?
Stokes has got to be done after what happened. You know what I mean? You can't justify keep playing Stokes. But I'd imagine he'll play. If he doesn't play Griffiths at the start, he'll play Beaton in midfield or Johansson and play Bowman in that week in a row. But I don't want to go up because I've been a good wide.
So, and there'll be good fullbacks in
Aberdean,
which is
why playing O'Grew there would just be an obvious to Jersey.
But,
I mean,
he
knows best, obviously.
I hope McGrew's on the wing, because Aberdeen have got good wide players, and they'd probably just murder McGrew if he's on the left wing.
Yeah, he'll probably come out and wouldn't say I'm playing him on the wing because Aberdeen will get good wingers and he's a defensive player. But, you know, Sunday, you know, every time Wilmerson were breaking out the park, the company would be taking 5-6 touches, just put the ball in the box and he was 20. Cadillac, he was going to hit the ball with his right fat, then come on to his left. And then Milk's turned quicker. The time he's turned, both defenders are back. And I just think he slows his right down as a team and he's really at the back. Well, if he's not good enough to get in the defence, he can't play in the team. But Lennon, obviously, Neil, a blessed, unbeaten run manager, knows best.
Apart from Morton. Right. Okay then, Bruce. So that's a rare, an actual Celtic game on Saturday that's like big and meaningful, and we hope is a triumphant win and not just a run of the mill league game.
Aye, definitely. But I mean, that was always going to happen with the Cup. Obviously, Cup's taking the importance without Rangers. Without the other mob. But, you know, it's a big game. And I would maybe prefer it a bit because I think to play better away from home, but it'll be Parkhead and I would imagine we'll win by a few and Aberdeen will put a fight up for a while, but they'll revert to Forum and they'll have a few towards the end. It's Langfield playing and goal.
And just to say, if we do get through, I hope we don't draw Rangers because it'll be non-stop endless going on about it.
Well, Ian Murray's Marauders are going to draw them.
The Suns?
And if Dumbarton beat them, Dumbarton are going to get promoted, so they don't need to play Rangers next season.
But I really couldn't bear like 3 or 4 weeks of talk every single day about the Rangers game, which is what it would be.
Well, who's to say they last 3 or 4 weeks?
Alright, Phil.
If the chosen one speaks, we need to listen.
Have you got an exclusive coming up? You're going to put in your own blog?
Let's just say the media are sitting on a storm.
Why won't they tell the truth, those bastards?
I'm sitting on it until the media find it. The media are sitting on it, and I'm sitting on it. And I'm sitting on it until the media come out and say it, so I can tell you that I'm sitting on it.
those mainstream media bastards. Right, okay, Bruce, so... thanks for being on the pod, and then next week we should be back to our normal pod in the very exciting venue we recorded in, where Stan's back as well, and we'll get his views on Joel Edley, and of course we'll get a review of the Scottish Cup game of games against Aberdeen.
That'd be good to hear Stan's militant views for a while. It's been a relatively soft podcast.
I know, we didn't even hammer Joel Edley like he would.
Well, I heard
him
Friday night when he heard Ledley. He's been on a
cocaine
binge for the last 6 days, so who knows what's
going on. Right, okay, Bruce, here's to a Celtic triumph on Saturday. We actually mean that. And speak to you next week, Bruce. Hail, hail.
Cheers.
Hope you enjoyed this week's show. We'll be back next week with a look at the Aberdeen game. You can follow us on Twitter, @thesnarlingmen. Speak to you soon. Hail, hail.